the title tonight, the message tonight, is entitled Gaining True Wisdom. But gaining true wisdom, so this is part two of gaining true wisdom. Now I want to start with a little story tonight. There was a class of first graders from the city one day that they took a field trip to the big farm in the country. Anybody ever do that? I remember when I was a kid going out, taking a field trip out to the farm. And that was fun, doing that kind of stuff. But these kids went, their teacher told them that today they were going to learn about where all the food at the supermarket came from. And that they would get to see how things grow. They would even get to see milk coming from a cow. And so after spending the morning out in the fields of corn and wheat and riding tractors and combines and seeing how things grow in the greenhouse, it was finally time to see all the animals in the barn. And before going into the barn, though, the farmer, knowing that the kids are a little hot and thirsty, he begins to pump the handle on this little well, you know, his little water fountain, little water well with the handle. And he began to give all the kids a cold drink of water. And some of the kids in class even, you know, took their turns pumping the handle up and down. They had never done anything like that. And so one of the little boys watched intently as the handle was pumping up and down, and then he disappeared. And so when the farmer stepped inside the barn, he was a little surprised to see that that same little boy that had disappeared had gone into the barn, and he had grabbed the cow's tail, and he was pumping that tail up and down. The farmer said, "What in tarnation are you doing?" The little boy said, "Well, I'm just trying to pump some milk out of this cow." You know, sometimes we're a lot like that little boy. We can assume that we know what we're doing, and we can even work real hard at trying to accomplish something in life. But how many of you know, if we don't know what we're doing, it's not going to work, right? We need a little wisdom. And so sometimes we can assume that we know what we're doing, and then we end up disappointed when we don't see any milk, right? We say it doesn't work. I've seen a lot of people do that in their walk with God, get all discouraged. They say, "Well, it doesn't work." Well, that's because you're not listening. You're assuming things. You're jumping to conclusions. You're not taking the time to actually learn. And so I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years. They'll say, "Well, I don't know. God never answers my prayers." But then they don't bother to find out what kind of prayers God's going to answer. Well, what does the scripture say about that? Well, he'll answer the ones that are prayed according to his will. So that doesn't mean God's going to just give you any little old whim that you come up with. Because if he did that, you'd probably destroy yourself. Right? So what has brought the American culture to the place where we are today? There are four worldly philosophies, and I'm going to go over those real quickly. Four worldly philosophies or ways of thinking that are coming to people today. These are not new ways of thinking. They've been around for a long time, and we kind of put our own spin on those things as Americans. So what are those four worldly philosophies? I want to give you each of those in a scripture before we go any further. So number one is individualism. Now, I want you to just think about our culture, think about America right now, and think about these things. Individualism, that means I live for myself, right? I live for myself. I want to tell you, America is infected with it. Judges chapter 17, verse 6, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes." Anybody know some folk like that? They did what was right in their own eyes. Anybody have heard somebody say, "Well, you know, I don't need church. I don't need this. I don't need that. Me and God, we got our own thing going, right? I don't need any of that. I hear that kind of stuff all the time." So, you know, if you go back and read in Judges, you'll find out there was a lot of horrible things going on. And so everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Well, God never intended for us to do what was right in our own eyes. He intended for us to do what he said was right. And then he empowers us through the Holy Spirit to do that. And so, you know, we live in a culture where whatever the culture begins to say is right, even the church starts to go along with it. And the truth of the matter is, when the church goes along with what God says is wrong, then we're damning the people that we're coming into agreement with. And so individualism, that's one, all right? That's that whole thing about, you know, will you just follow your heart? No, don't follow your heart. Follow his heart. All right, number two, secularism is the other one. That means simply that God is not necessary. I'll tell you what, you know, we have whole political parties who have just outwardly said, we will not have God as part of our platform, period. Do you know right now, and I have to tell you this because it's so horrific, but right now the Democratic party has been having their big shindig, right? Do you know that right there, while they're having their big thing and making all their speeches and doing all that, they set it up to have a mobile abortion clinic come and set up right there at this DNC convention so that they could do abortions right there for people. Totally welcomed it. They just totally welcomed. So secularism, God's not necessary. Well, we have scripture, Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, and I'm going to read this out of the message. What happened was this. People knew God perfectly well, but when they didn't treat him like God, refusing to worship him, they trivialized themselves into silliness and confusion so that there was neither sense nor direction left in their lives. They pretended to know it all, but were illiterate regarding life. They traded the glory of God, who holds the whole world in his hands, for cheap figurines that you could buy at any roadside stand. So we know, I was talking to another minister today, and he's very involved in the political scene, and he said, the deception is absolutely rampant. And I said, well, you know, really probably a better word than deception is delusion. People literally are deluded. They do not know right from wrong. And what they think is right is wrong. And what they think is wrong is right. They're deluded. And so that's what happens when you get into secularism. All right. Number three is relativism. What is relativism? That means there is no truth. There's no absolute truth. That's where, you know, when somebody tells you there is no absolute truth, that's when you ask them, are you absolutely sure that there is no absolute truth, right? So relativism, that means it just kind of, you know, truth evolves, truth changes with the culture. Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. With the Lord's authority, let me say this, live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. Now, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to get off of talking about politics, but I'm very disturbed by this. I don't know why they made this change, but all of a sudden the Republican Party went from their platform was totally against abortion in every situation. Well, apparently President Trump's advisors advised him that you're going to have to change that stance or you're going to lose voters. So now what has happened is that now the Republican Party has backed up. Can I tell you that they may be doing, you may be in more in agreement with the Republicans, and I am, to be honest with you, with most of the things that they're trying to do, I'm in agreement, definitely way more in agreement with them than the Democrats at this point. But you know what? They had no reason to back off, because now what they've done is they've opened up the door for wrath to come. They're not just saying, it's not just President Trump saying, well, I believe that there should be exceptions like, you know, incest and rape and the health of the mother. But now the entire party has changed its stance. When an entire national party changes its stance, now we have no party in this country that stands 100% for life. You cannot expect to not have judgment fall. And can I tell you, the judgment's already started. The delusion that people are in is part of the judgment itself. The delusion that comes upon a people is part of the judgment. And then because of the delusion, it just gets worse and worse and worse. Now, I'm not saying that to bum anybody out. What I'm saying is we need to truly be in prayer, and we need to truly be praying that God will somehow change the heart of those that made that decision, starting with Mr. Trump. It needs to change. It needs to go back to what is right. And the truth of the matter is he didn't even have to make a statement on this. He accomplished something that was wonderful. He got Roe versus Wade overturned because he put the right Supreme Court justices in. Okay, so that's wonderful. So the job was done. Don't back off now. Okay, so the truth of the matter is there were Christian leaders who were trying to stop that from happening. Christian leaders that were stepping in and saying, please don't do this. And they did it anyway. Okay, so I hate to shatter everybody's image of, you know, some people think Trump's the next savior. I hate to shatter your image of him, but I'm telling you, he's just a man. And he needs our prayers, and he needs to come to true repentance on that issue. Because never, and I mean never, is it okay to butcher a baby in the womb. Never. It's never okay to burn him up in the womb. It's never okay to reach an instrument in there and cut it to pieces and pull it out with a vacuum cleaner. It's never okay. It's murder. And I don't care what the reason is. And if we ever come into agreement, if people in this church come into agreement and say, well, you know, if the life of the mother is at stake, then she ought to be able to kill her baby. Well, then you've just killed me, because that was my story. So anyway, I think everybody knows where I stand on that. But I want you to know, don't think everything is okay. Everything is not okay, because God can't support that either. All right. So we're going to move on. So there is absolute truth. People are in darkness. They don't know truth. They've evaded the truth. They've done everything to get away from the truth because they want to live a comfortable life. And that has infected the church. All right. Number four is tolerance. Tolerance. All ideas are equally right and true. That's where we get the term political correctness, right? All ideas are equally right and true. You have people within the church, all these different denominations who are just saying, we just need to have unity within the church. Can I tell you, the next time you're going to have true unity within the entire church will be when it's being ruled by the false prophet in the tribulation time, okay? We're never going to have unity, true unity within the church, as long as you have people within the church who are teaching and preaching and exalting things that God calls an abomination and murder and all of those things. Okay, so we can have unity in the Spirit, and that's the only kind of unity we can have. Amen. If people are connected to the Holy Spirit, if people are connected to His Word, man, I want unity with that person. I want unity with that pastor. I want unity with that church. It doesn't matter their label, their denomination. None of that matters to me. But I will not be in unity who believe that a man should be able to walk into a woman's bathroom, or that a little boy or a little girl should be able to go to the doctor and have their gender changed and all of that kind of stuff. I'll never be in unity with that. Never. Because the Holy Spirit's not in unity with it. And if the Spirit's not in unity with it, we shouldn't be either. All right. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. God has called us to be holy, not to live impure lives. Anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human rules, but is rejecting God, who gives His Holy Spirit to you. Okay. So tolerance, it's funny because those that are pushing tolerance are tolerant toward anybody that, and except for a Spirit-filled, Bible-believing Christian, right? Then they're not tolerant toward that. So what is the solution to the problem in the American culture? What is the answer to these wrong ways of thinking? Well, the short answer is that it's the uncompromising, truth-speaking church. That's the answer. It's the church in America raising its voice, proclaiming the truth of God's word in our nation once again, and doing it with and through the wisdom of God, which results in living as light in the darkness. So it's one thing to just declare truth, but we also need to have wisdom on how to declare that truth, when to declare that truth, right? We don't want to live in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil where we're just shouting, this is wrong, this is right, this is wrong, this is right. We want to live in the tree of life where even those that are wrong, we still love them and we still want them to come to repentance and we still pray for them, right? We don't agree with them, but we still love them. It's not about just good songs and sermons either, by the way. We cannot forget that the church is not a building, but that we are the church. And Jesus called us to be the light of the world. In fact, light always overcomes darkness. There is never an instant anywhere where darkness overcomes light. Darkness is simply the absence of light. That's all it is. Darkness is the absence of light. The moment light shows up, light always overcomes the darkness. So those patterns of thinking, you know, I want to tell you, they affect our lives. They affect all of our lives. You know, one of the things that we have to understand as a church is that we lack nothing. We have everything available to us that we need. And the only reason that there's darkness around us is because we're not bothering to shine the light. And I want to tell you, we've been empowered to do so. The darkness cannot win when we're shining the light. That don't mean people aren't going to shoot at you, but it doesn't matter. You shine the light. So they affect these patterns of thinking that we're just talking about. They affect the way we live. And even worse is they affect the generations coming behind us to even a greater measure. So even within the church, we have to be on guard against those worldviews. So the Bible tells us to not conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's Romans chapter 12, 2. Let's look at it. We'll read in a couple different versions. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think the King James says good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And I've heard some knucklehead preaching on that. To be honest with you, that there's somehow three different levels of God that he's okay with. That's not true. To say good and acceptable and perfect, it's all saying the same thing. That his will is good and it's acceptable and it's perfect. So what happens is people use this to set up levels like, well, I may not be obeying God completely, but it's better than the other guy, so it's good. You know, and I might be doing a little better than that, and so now that's acceptable. But if I'm really all out, it's the perfect will of God. Well, you know, you're either in the will of God or you're not in the will of God. So his will is good, acceptable, and perfect. There aren't different levels. God's not giving us options and say, well, you know, you can serve me this much if you want. That's okay. That's good. Yeah, well, you can serve me that much if you want. Well, that's acceptable. No, it's not like that. All right. Romans chapter 12, 2 in the Message. Let's read it in the Message. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. So how can the church be the real, authentic church of Jesus Christ in our world today? How can you and I live out the reality of the power of God's word before this world? Well, there's only one way. You need God's wisdom, because we don't know how to do it. We need God's wisdom. Anyone can live their life the wrong way with little or no effort. How many of you found that out? You don't have to practice either. You don't have to work at it. You know, you don't have to say, you know what? I really need to work at, you know, giving in to temptation and sinning. You don't have to work at it at all. It just comes natural, right? But living in a way that demonstrates righteousness or light before the world, and so that the following generations can see that calls for wisdom. And it's godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom. See, what I talked about, those four philosophies, that's worldly wisdom. And the Bible says that the worldly wisdom is demonic, literally calls it demonic, sensual and demonic. So can anybody tell me where true wisdom starts? We talked about it last week. The fear of the Lord. Let's look at a couple of those scriptures. Psalm chapter 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. And by the way, where it says those that practice wisdom, and of course this is talking about godly wisdom, the fear of the Lord, have a good understanding, you could literally translate that understanding to a foundation. You have a solid foundation when you have God's wisdom. You have a solid foundation, understanding. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 through 12, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me, this is wisdom talking, your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Okay, so this is, again, this is one of those promises from God that, you know, you want to live a long life? You want to live a good life? Well, then you want the wisdom of the Lord. In other words, you want the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So true wisdom is not a result of intelligence. I know a lot of people who are a whole lot smarter than I am, but they have no wisdom. So it's not just a result of intelligence. It's not just a collection of knowledge. in order for us to find true wisdom, it must start with the fear of the Lord. Okay, so now's our real starting point tonight. Number two, main point, we can learn true wisdom from those who fear the Lord. You know, there are some people who are just naturally drawn, I'm going to say it in a nice way, but they're just drawn to knuckleheads. That's who they want to hang around. Whatever their reason is, I don't know. You know, they're just drawn to people that kind of live in their flesh and do fleshly things. And I don't know if it makes them feel good because maybe they think they're more spiritual when they're around that person, you know. But you know what? They're going to infect your life. So you want to have fellowship with people who have the fear of God in their life, and you want to learn from them. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. So information and knowledge, I mean, we've got plenty of that today. In fact, information and knowledge is more plenteous and available today than it has ever been in all of creation. Except for, you know, maybe right up front before sin with Adam and Eve. They had the mind of Christ. But with the internet, me and Brother Wayne were talking about, I think it was me and Brother Wayne talking about this the other day. Anything you want to know, pull it up on YouTube. You can learn anything you want to know on YouTube about any subject. You can learn how to fix just about anything. There's no need for college anymore. Just watch YouTube. Literally, you can learn anything you want. In fact, college courses many times are on YouTube, and you actually can go to YouTube and actually learn what you're supposed to learn instead of hearing some liberal professor tell you that God doesn't exist after paying all that money. Tell your neighbor, just go to YouTube. But there's so much information and so much knowledge, but true wisdom is scarce. True wisdom means much more than just simply knowing a lot. True wisdom is an attitude affecting every aspect of our lives. True wisdom involves the active awe and reverence and wonder of God. And if we ever lose that awe and reverence and wonder of God, if we get to a place where we're not amazed by Him any longer, that is our first clue that we've begun to live foolishly. We're not walking and living in wisdom. So since the starting place and foundation for true wisdom is to fear the Lord, we know that true wisdom begins with our personal relationship with Him. And if we're going to grow in wisdom, then we must learn wisdom from those who have the fear of the Lord demonstrated in their lives. I love to be around people who have the fear of God. And can I tell you one of the reasons why? When they are living in the fear of God, they don't have a problem helping me stay right. Because if you have the fear of God, you're going to love people. And if you love people, you're not going to just be okay with them bringing themselves to destruction. So I love being around people that fear the Lord. First of all, I know they're going to be wise. I know they're going to have real wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 in the NLT says, my child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. I'm reading that because I want you to understand that's where it starts. You know, we are supposed to correct our children so that, first off, we teach them to honor us as parents. When God wrote the commandments, the Ten Commandments, He wasn't writing honor your father and mother to the children. He was writing it to the parents, for the parents to teach this to their children. And He said, and if you do that, your children will have a long life. It'll be a good life. Well, it's the same way here. My child, listen to your father when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Well, He's talking to the child, but understand that's instruction for the parents as well. It's not okay for parents to let their kids run their house. It's not okay. They don't have a clue how to do that. All they got is that little carnal nature. They want what they want, and they want it when they want it. And so it's the parents' job to teach the fear of the Lord, to teach wisdom. So remember, the fear of the Lord is active. Your relationship with God will affect the way you live your life. Those of you who have had moms or dads who love and fear the Lord have reason to be thankful today. You are the recipients of a godly heritage. And parents literally are the primary influence in a child's life. Now, I understand that's not always the case because we got some parents out there that are real fools. And thank God for others who will come along and help and give the wisdom of God, right? Because we all have influence. So parents are the primary influence in that child's life, though. And unfortunately, not everyone has been blessed with God-fearing parents. And if we want wisdom, then we got to learn from those who fear the Lord. And, you know, I thank God, Mike and Jody, these guys don't have kids of their own, but they're filling their house up with kids. Why? To teach them these things. I thank God for that. They're kind of filling a gap where the parents may be missing it. Probably not all the parents, but some of them. So if we want wisdom, again, we learn from those who fear the Lord. You may also have to unlearn the ungodly lessons that your parents have taught you. Anybody in this room, did you learn some bad lessons from your parents? Anybody in here ever learned bad lessons from your parents? Sure. Most of the bad habits that you might have had or picked up in life, you probably learned from your parents. Now, see back there, he ain't about to raise his hand because his mama's sitting right in front of him. He ain't about to raise his hand right there. But, you know, here's something that's prevalent in our culture. We have what we call sins that are okay for adults, right? Since when did God put an age on sin? Where in the Word do we find, well, you have to behave, you can't cuss or smoke or drink or watch bad movies or, you know, have sex out of marriage until you're at least 18? I don't see that in the Bible anywhere. But our whole culture says, well, you know, you got to wait till you're 18 till you do that. And I know people, I know parents who are so stupid. I'm going to use the word stupid because that's what it is. The moment their kid turns 18, the parent will take them out and get them drunk. They're going to smoke the first cigarette with them. Well, they think they smoked the first cigarette. That kid's probably been smoking for years. But people do that kind of stuff. It's stupid. They're destroying their children. And what parents should be teaching their children is the wisdom of God, the fear of God. Again, at what age does God say that sin is okay? Never. So the good news is that while like father, like son thing can be broken when you choose to fear the Lord and learn from the godly example of those around you who fear the Lord. And we all need those examples around us. I need that. I'm a pastor. I fear God, but I need people in my life who fear God. Amen. Because I can learn from them. And so you don't have to go it alone. Surround yourself with people who fear the Lord and who learn from their, or learn from the example of others who fear the Lord. And then you learn from their example. Solomon, the wise teacher, had this good advice for those who are willing to learn wisdom from those who fear the Lord. Let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Again, this is in the Message. I'm using a lot of different versions tonight. So I'm writing out clear directions for Wisdom Way. I'm drawing a map to Righteous Road. I don't want you ending up in blind alleys or wasting time making wrong turns. Hold tight to good advice. Don't relax your grip. Guard it well. Your life is at stake. Have any of you in this room ever learned a lesson? You learned something as you got older? And you think to yourself, or maybe even say out loud, I wish somebody would have taught me this or told me this when I was younger. Anybody ever experienced that? Sure. And that's what he's saying. You don't, man, why, you don't have to go down all them wrong roads and them wrong, you know, alleys and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to. You actually can stay on the straight and narrow way. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 13. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. You know what that means? That means one day, you know, people usually, ever been around somebody, they just blab, blab, just talk and arrogant and it's, you know, cussing this and that. And they just, you know, they're going to tell people off and this. And it got all that kind of stuff going. But the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. The perverse tongue, the tongue that's going to be used for anything that's other than the wisdom of God, is going to be cut off. That just simply means, I don't mean God's going to cut their tongue out of their mouth. It just simply means he's going to shut their mouth once and for all. He's going to silence them. So we can learn wisdom by seeing how to make right choices and live a godly life from those who fear the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 10 through 19 shows us that you can choose who will influence your life, and it gives us a contrast between the godly who fear the Lord and sinners who live for themselves. Let's look at that. Again, this is in the Message. It says, dear friend, if bad companions tempt you, don't go along with them. If they say, let's go out and raise some hell. That's in the Bible. Let's beat up some old man. Let's mug some old woman. How many of you know we live in a day where that's not a ridiculous thought? That happens every day. You could pull up videos all day long of this kind of stuff happening. Let's pick them clean and get them ready for their funerals. We'll load up on top quality loot. We'll haul it home by the truckload. Join us for the time of your life. With us, it's share and share alike. Oh, friend, don't give them a second look. Don't listen to them for a minute. They're racing to a very bad end, hurrying to ruin everything they lay hands on. Nobody robs a bank with everybody watching. Yet, that's what these people are doing. They're doing themselves in. When you grab all you can get, that's what happens. The more you get, the less you are. You know, I think about those four young ladies, and here are these four young ladies, young, who are in prison for, I don't know, maybe the rest of their life. I don't remember what their prison sentence is. Teenage girls who got involved with a young man and tried to carjack a lady, and in the carjacking ended up killing the lady, ended up dragging her, pulling her arm off. It was a horrible, horrible thing. And here's these baby girls, and they're baby girls. They're just teenagers. Now spending hard time in prison for murder because they went along with somebody who had a really bad idea just to get along. Well, that's a radical thing, but how many times do God's people go along with things that they shouldn't go along with, even though someone doesn't end up killed, but they go along with this little bit of compromise, this little bit of thing. Friends are going to go, man, we're just going to go out to the bar. We're going to go, look, you don't even have to drink. Just come hang out with us. We're going to go listen to some music. Man, you know what a trap that is? Listen, you have a choice which crowd you're going to hang with. The world is full of people who will try to lead you down the wrong path. They'll try to convince you that their way of life is fun and pleasurable. You know how many people got invited to the casino to go eat the best food around, ended up going into terrible debt and losing their homes and everything else because it went from the restaurant to that one little slot machine to next thing you know, they're losing everything they got. I've had to minister to families like that. Horrible. Where one person in the family now kills themselves because they lost everything they got. So you got to be careful. You got to use wisdom, God's wisdom. So, you know, they'll try to convince you that their way of life is fun and that it's pleasurable, but they don't tell you about the consequences from that kind of life because maybe they haven't found themselves, the person that's doing the inviting, maybe they hadn't found out the consequences yet. But I want you to know they're coming. Or they'll laugh and they'll make fun of you when you don't want to go along with them and do their kind of fun. We've all had people around us like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. You know, they'll entice you and they'll bring you into some kind of an atmosphere where you're going to let your guard down to a demonic influence and you don't even see it happening. And you'll end up violating your conscience through compromise, and then you're going to wonder how you got there. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I guarantee you this is for somebody. If you're one who fears the Lord, you got to take action. If you're one who fears the Lord, you don't allow that to happen in your life. If you're one who fears the Lord, you don't want to get away from Him. You want to stay as close to Him as you can get. So I want to challenge you to do some things to grow in the fear of the Lord. I'm going to give you a few things here, and then we got to close it. So number one, I'm going to give you a few challenges. Challenge one, learn from those who fear the Lord. Learn from those who fear the Lord. You say, well, I don't know anybody that fears the Lord. Well, ask the Lord to lead you to some people who fear the Lord. That's one of the main purposes of the church. What we're really talking about is discipleship. See, that's why we have things like that. That's why we have the infusion course. That's why we have, you know, small groups that meet here and there. That's why we do all the things that we do. Listen, I want you to understand, Pastor Cindy and I do what we do specifically to invest ourselves into your lives to help you grow in Christ. There's lots of other things we could be doing, but we made the decision that we're going to invest our lives into people. And we're going to try to live in the fear of the Lord to the greatest degree that we can, and always seeking God's help to help us do that. So maturity comes from godly instruction and the daily practice of living out what we're learning from God's word. And can I tell you that we live in a church culture today that is minimal. It's a minimal culture. You know, you're here tonight on a Wednesday night, but do you know that most churches, They don't even have a Wednesday night anymore. They don't. And the people are doing good if they show up every Sunday. They're doing real good if they do that. And I understand there are schedules that keep that from happening from time to time. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about people that just, you know, it's just an optional thing. It's, you know, I'll go if I feel like it, right? But if I got something else to do, that's going to be more important to me. But everybody needs someone to pour themselves into our lives. Pastor Mike made the statement years ago. I've quoted him many times, Pastor Mike Millay. He said, everybody needs someone in their life who is not impressed with them and will tell them the truth about how they're doing. I love that. And I'm very thankful for a pastor who will do that for me and a wife that will do that for me. So we need to learn from the example of those who fear the Lord. And let me say this about my wife. I don't know anybody on the planet who fears God more than her. She's serious about it. All right. So, all right. Challenge number two. As someone who fears the Lord, you also invest yourself into someone else who needs to grow in the Lord. So you connect yourself with people who fear God. That should be the people you long to hang out with. But then also understand, as they take you by the hand, you reach down and take somebody else by the hand, right? Someone who fears the Lord, you invest yourself into someone else who needs to grow in the Lord. One of the best ways to learn is to teach others. You know, I learned so much stuff teaching you. I get so much revelation. I've been reading this Bible for a long, long time. But man, as I'm teaching you, even sometimes while I'm standing here, I get revelation I never had before. There's something about it. When you're teaching others, God reveals things to you. It's amazing. So don't just listen to what you hear at church and then forget it. Man, repeat it to someone else. Find somebody who can benefit from it and repeat it. Even if it's just one little nugget, find somebody you can share that with. All right, the third challenge. Parents, this is for the parents, teach your children to fear the Lord, period. No exceptions. Teach them to fear the Lord. I want to tell you, you know, we know some kids are extremely strong-willed. We know that. Some of you were that strong-willed kid, all right, growing up. But I want you to know that it makes a huge difference when you have parents who teach, who fear the Lord and teach their children to fear the Lord. The outcome of that young person's life is way different. Even if they jump out there and act like a fool for a little while, that fear of the Lord's going to hang on to them. I know. So teach your children to fear the Lord. You are training your children and or possibly your grandchildren, either consciously or unconsciously. They are watching you and they're learning from you every moment they see your life. They're learning something from you and they're going to mimic the things they see. Your actions will speak louder than your words. Your children know your priorities by watching how you live your life. They're going to know whether or not God is number one for you. They're going to know. Your life is going to let them know. The way you live, it's going to let them know. I read a post, I don't know, it's been quite a while back, but I saw it the other day about that. It was about going to church. If going to church is an option for you, if it's just an option that's not real important to you, then for your child, it's not going to just be not only an option, it's going to be just totally unnecessary, totally irrelevant to them. You go home and you do nothing but criticize your church, criticize the music, criticize the teaching, just criticize constantly, criticize leadership. Don't be surprised. I'm going to use some strong language. Don't be surprised when your son becomes a dope head or your daughter becomes a hoe. I'm just telling the truth. So your children know your priorities by watching how you live your life. Purpose to show your children what it means to fear the Lord. Don't ever make excuses for sin. Don't ever make excuses for sin. Be quick to repent, even before your children. Humble yourself quickly and tell your children. I can't tell you how many times over the years when I was wrong, I would go to my children or one of them, whichever, and I would tell them, I was wrong and I'm sorry. I set a bad example for you. So show them what it means to fear the Lord. Don't be a compromiser with sinfulness. You know, think about this. How many kids, when the phone rang growing up, some of you in this room, how many kids, when the phone rang, were taught by their parents to lie by saying what? Tell them I'm not here. Listen, I have seen parents cuss and swear at their kids for cussing and swearing. I'm not kidding. Cuss that kid upside down one way or another because that kid said a cuss word. Well, they just talking like you. Do as I say, not as I do, does not work. Parents, you've got to set an example of worship, and I'll say grandparents as well. You've got to set an example of worship, generosity, godly love, unselfishness, humility, integrity, and faithfulness to God before your children. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do that.
Amen.
And even if you don't have children, understand this. We're going to end with this. Three statements. Everybody is influencing somebody. Somebody is watching your life, and you are a role model to someone. Remember years ago, you know, I loved basketball, and you know, I literally would dream I was slam dunking that ball. I mean, I would dream that I loved basketball. But I remember one man who was particularly kind of foul-mouthed and coarse and a little mean, a guy named Charles Barkley. Maybe you heard of that guy. And they made a commercial with him. And what was he saying in that commercial? His line was, "I am not a role model." Well, I'm sorry, Charles. You are a role model. Maybe a bad one, but you were a role model. And we don't have, none of us have we cannot truthfully say that I'm not a role model. I guarantee you, you are a role model to someone. Everybody's influencing somebody. Somebody is watching your life. And you are a role model to someone. Teach people the fear of the Lord. Teach them about supernatural, godly wisdom. Amen? Because in this world, as bad as this is getting, I want to tell you, I feel sorry for anybody trying to traverse this world and this culture without the wisdom of God. It ain't going to be easy. Amen? Things are rapidly changing. You may or may not pay attention to this stuff. I know a lot of people just pretty much get up and, you know, they go to work and they earn a living and they're trying to pay their bills and they're trying to, you know, try to do some things right, go to church, try to do some things right, maybe even live a moral life and or not even really paying attention to what's going on. But I want you to understand that there is a concerted effort by superpower countries. This is a concerted effort. They're coming together right now to do everything they can to destroy our economy, to destroy the value of the U.S. dollar. You can't even put your trust in money, I'm telling you. And I was talking to a very learned man today in the area of politics, and he said, "Pastor Dwayne," he said, "I'm not saying that this is the way it's going to be," he said, "but I really wonder if after this election, if we're ever going to have another election." Things are happening very, very quickly. We are literally on the brink of World War III right now. And people are just going about in their life as though nothing's going on. I'm telling you, church, we better be light in the darkness. We better have the fear of God. We better be operating by the wisdom of Almighty God. Amen? But He's made that available.